It's great to be here. I need to say good evening or good afternoon instead of good morning. I'm used to saying good morning, but it is definitely afternoon for sure. But man, it's just, it's really, really good to be here. After 5 months to be here, to be standing in front of all of you, it's such a joy, and Lauren and I are so thrilled to be here. And just before I get started, just Ian and Phil, they're kind of brothers I'm really close to that aren't in the States. You know, that's what's great about God's kingdom is we're all connected, but those two guys I have the closest relationships with. And so it's interesting how God works. Both of them have always been like, you gotta come. And got to come a couple years ago, and that was great. But then they still said, we want you over here. And now here we are. And here's Phil getting ready to go on Wednesday. So God is humorous as well, but it is great to be here with all of you, be part of the central region here in London, in the London church. So, I don't know, I just want to talk to you about faith today. You know, that's why we're all here, is because of our faith in God. And that's what I just want to focus on is our faith. And I love talking about faith, you know, because on any given day, at any given moment, your faith may be wild and crazy. I think Ian Mooley, he's got some wild and crazy faith moments. Or it could be steadfast and strong, you know, or it could be lacking and a little weak. You know, your faith can be very secure and confident at what God will do, but it could also be very uncertain and very unstable at the same time to think that God has your best interests in mind. And so I just wanted to study a passage out today. Just to share with you, even kind of share Lauren and I's life a little bit over the last 5 months. I'm not one to usually kind of share personally during a lesson, but Lauren and I just want to kind of share our lives a little bit with you, just so you know where we're coming from and just kind of learn about our hearts a little bit. But we've been called to a new faith over the last 5 months, you know, and it's not that our faith was in shambles or anything like that, but it's just our faith has grown. Our faith has grown, and quite possibly it might have grown more than it ever has, you know. But it's definitely been refined, it's definitely been sharpened. It's been a great time over the last 5 months to really focus on God and the life that He has planned for us, and not necessarily the life that we have planned for ourselves. So it's very this passage is very tangible for Lauren and I at this time, and it's very real, it's very practical because of the life that we've been given over the last 5 months. So I really look forward to sharing that with you, but I hope today that a couple things that you'll get out is you'll see where your faith in Jesus is now, okay? But I also hope you'll see the faith that Jesus is calling you to have that you might not have just yet, but also the faith that He's calling you to grow in, that you can grow in your faith. And if you don't think you can grow in your faith, you wouldn't be here. But we're all here because we do have faith to grow in. And that's the great thing about Jesus is He pushes us in our faith. And that's the title of my lesson is Jesus, the Faith Pusher. There you go. So, and I just kind of wanted to share it. It's just a privilege and honor to really be leading the central region with my wife. And I just want to reiterate what Tokes and Bola said. Thanks for your support. And your love for God. So, thanks for just being here, and it's great to be here for sure. But it's just an honor for sure to be here. So why don't we go ahead, and why don't we get the scriptures? And so we'll start in Luke 4. We're going to read Luke 4 and then go into Luke 5 and go from there. I know you went through Luke quite a bit, maybe it was a year or two ago. Ian reminds me of that. But hopefully God's got something else for you guys today to move your hearts and to help grow in your faith, to push your faith forward. So starting in Luke 4, verse 38, we'll pick it up there. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So He bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying His hands on each one, He healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But He rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew He was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that your scriptures are so powerful, God. Thank you for the great communion that you give us hope, God, and so many things and things that we don't even realize at this time, God. But I pray, God, to let your word really speak powerfully. God, you are such a powerful God. Your scriptures are so powerful. And I pray that your power moves through our hearts, God, moves us to a faith that will bring you glory, God. Will bring great victories and great memories to the central region of London, God. And I pray you remove me, God, that your word speaks powerfully, and that what you want taught today will be taught, will be said, so that we will glorify your name, God. Thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. So just a little background here. We saw Peter. He sees a miracle in verse 439 where his mother-in-law is healed. And this miracle occurs in Peter's hometown of Capernaum, right? And this miracle probably inspires Peter a little bit. And so Peter, being a fisherman, he moves his business from Capernaum to Gennesaret, which is where Jesus is when he's on the boat speaking to the crowd, and where we see this amazing miracle of many fish, right? And you know, it's not really a big move from Capernaum to Gennesaret. It's actually only about 2 kilometers. So it's not too far, less than 2 miles. But it's really the next town down the coast, down the southwest coast of the Sea of Galilee from Capernaum. So not really a big move. Nothing too big about that. I'm just going to go to the next town. I'm going to follow this guy Jesus that healed my mother-in-law. And he's a cool guy. I appreciate him doing that. But in this chapter, Jesus is, even after this chapter, he's teaching a lot about faith. You know, the man that has leprosy. You know, he says, hey, if you are willing, please heal me. And if I'm willing, you know. And so he's teaching faith. And then with the paralytic, the friends of the paralytic and the paralytic, they get their sins forgiven. Why? Because of their faith. And so Jesus, in this chapter, he's sharing a lot about faith and teaching a lot about faith. And it's no coincidence to me that Jesus needs to teach the men that are going to follow him first about faith. If he's going to teach faith to others, then his men that are going to follow him, then they need to have faith as well. And so here Jesus is teaching Peter and his disciples about faith. And why is faith so important? Well, faith is so important because it influences the deep waters of our heart. And that's my first point, is deep waters. And we see here that Jesus takes Peter out into the deep waters of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus uses these deep waters to get to the deep waters of the disciples' hearts, to challenge their faith. You know, and why does Jesus need to challenge Simon and all his disciples? Well, I don't think he's too excited about their faith at this point. I don't think he's really moved or really pleased even with where their faith is at. And he's wanting their faith to grow. He's wanting their faith to be pushed. You know, and so Jesus wants to refine their faith. And so if we evaluate the faith of the disciples to this point before this great miracle, you know, we talked about they didn't travel very far. It's only about 2 kilometers. They didn't leave anything behind. They have their boats. They're doing their profession. You know, and actually, when Jesus is speaking the word of God, what are they doing? What are the fishermen doing? They're washing their nets, right? So there's some distractions going on. And these fishermen, they're not really showing and putting a lot of faith into Jesus. They're interested in Jesus, but they're not totally interested. There's other things they're interested in for sure. You know, maybe they're showing this slight interest, but there's distractions. You know, there's distractions of their profession, which they need their profession so they can have an income, so they can support their families. So there's these distractions, and while Jesus is speaking the word, they are for sure distracted with other things. And some of the things that I've tried to think, what might these disciples be thinking about? You know, up to this point, what are their thoughts about Jesus? And well, one is we see Peter, he does call Jesus master. And really in that time, really all Peter is saying is sir. You say, hey, hello, sir. He's just being polite. Kind of, it's master sounds like there definitely is some respect there, but he's really, hey, hello, sir. How you doing? And so they probably think, you know, Jesus is pretty cool. He healed our buddy's mother-in-law. That's pretty amazing. And he had authority over demons. And that's really cool. I'm impressed with that. You know, so let's follow this guy a little bit. He's going to the next town. Let's just go follow him a little bit more. Let's check it out. Let's see what he's got going on. And plus, he seems to have a liking for our boy Peter. So let's see what else this guy can offer, you know. So, and also, hey, if we go to Gennesaret, it's on the shore. We can bring our boats. We can keep working our business. We can maybe even expand our business into the next town. You know, maybe we can market this corner of the shore and it can be our business, it will expand, you know. And so, I don't know, maybe that's what the disciples are thinking. Maybe that's what they're thinking, that's what they're wondering. But it makes me wonder if Jesus had gone inland, would they have gone? They're fishermen, they needed the shore, they needed the water. Even if Jesus had gone 2 kilometers inland, would they have gone? I don't know. But this makes me wonder. So Jesus, he sees these men, he sees their faith. But what he sees a lot of distraction. You know, he sees a lot of comfort, you know. Jesus did not see much faith in these men that he wanted to follow him. Wherever he went, away from the water as well. You know, so he's going to have to draw out the deep waters of their hearts and let them see that Jesus is Lord. That, you know what, I need to let these guys see that I am Lord. So Jesus is going to have to challenge their faith to grow, to help them see that what they value is really nothing of value compared to a relationship of faith with Jesus. You know, and so I love that Jesus uses the very thing that they are attracted to, the very thing they value to convict, to challenge their hearts, and to help them move past what maybe is blocking their faith from growing. So he uses the very thing that they enjoy doing, the very thing that they rely on to say, you know, I'm going to use this to help them see that I'm way, way more important. And I love that Jesus does that. And Jesus has done that with Lauren and I. You know, we've loved the ministry. We've loved working with the singles over in Hampton Roads, and Lauren's worked with the teens, and I've worked at the campus in the past, and we love doing ministry work. And just building up God's kingdom. But Lauren and I were also set on our career paths that we had chosen, you know. In fact, I enjoyed so much what I did that I was taking prerequisite courses to go back to school and get my second graduate degree, my second master's degree, and become a physician's assistant. You know, we've been praying for better jobs and better hours, and we've been praying those things for over a year. And within about 2 months, those things happen. Lauren got a job with better hours. She wasn't working at nights anymore. We were able to spend more time as husband and wife. We were able to serve the singles more and to serve the ministry more. And then I got a new position as well after I had worked somewhere for about 7 years. I got a new position that had great hours. I was done by 4 every day. Fridays I was done by 1 in the afternoon. I mean, it was like Man, I was just living it up. Am I even working? I mean, come on. I was working for the United States Navy. I was a contractor and worked with them, and it was a great job. I got to go on base, and there's all these benefits. I got tickets to amusement parks for less, and there's just all these things that I got for just working for the Navy. And it was actually kind of cool. One of my patients, he worked for the British Royal Navy. And so I got to talk to him a lot and work with him. And I always, whenever he came in, I was like, hey, I want to talk to you. And we'd talk about England, and it was great. But it was really, really cool. So I got this job with great hours, but the pay was much more pay than what I'd gotten. And then within a month of me having this new job, God had a different idea. You know, and are you willing to leave behind these things that you've prayed for a long time? Are you willing to leave them behind, and are you willing to come to England? And amongst the midst of all these prayers for these jobs, we've also, ever since we came here for the singles retreat, we've always prayed for the United Kingdom. We've always prayed for the singles ministry. We've always prayed for the London church. Just the whole country as a whole, we've always prayed for it. Not that we'd even be here, but when we came that time, we just really fell in love with all you guys and fell in love with the church here. And so it's great to be back. And I don't share these things to boast at all, but just again, just we want you to know our hearts and know who Lauren and I are and how much we love God. Okay? And so, the choice was simple. And the choice was simple to come here because of you guys, really. Because we had met you guys, we'd known you guys, and it wasn't hard at all. It made the decision really, really easy. But of course, the last 5 months, there has been challenges. It was easy to say yes, but then with that yes, there was definitely challenges that we had to go through in order just to learn to have faith and to learn to trust God and to be refined in our faith. So, you know, it helped us see our fears, where we have some fears. It helped us see our comforts, where we have some comforts. But overall, it helped us see that Jesus is Lord. Amen. That Jesus has the best plan for our lives and not our plans. That those aren't the best plans for our lives. His plans are way better. So in this passage, we see the disciples' faith is lacking because they're set in their comforts. Well, you know, and so it makes me ask the question, what comforts are causing your faith to be stagnant? You know, when was the last time your faith grew? You know, the disciples' faith was lacking because they really didn't see who Jesus was meant to be in their life. That he was more than a master, that he was their Lord. You know, and where in your life are you not letting Jesus be Lord of your life? Where is that? Whatever answers you might be coming up with these questions, it's great that you have answers. It's great that you have answers. It's great that you have answers because Jesus wants to shape those answers and have them become different answers. You know, he wants to mold you, he wants to mold these areas of your heart. To hearts of faith, to see your faith pushed to a place that you never thought. But, you know, when you let Jesus do that, you will see Jesus in incredible ways. You'll see Jesus as Lord, and you know, as disciples saw Jesus as Lord, you will become astonished as they did. Because that's what they say, right? It says they're astonished. They are astonished. But it's because they were willing to be pushed that they were astonished. And that's my second point is being astonished. And I've already been astonished once while I've been here for 3 days. And I'll tell you, it was last night. We're at Cafe Eterno and Tokes already touched on it. But seeing David Kaner and Tokes try and jump and touch this roof and see the hops that they have, these guys can jump. And they were going for it. And Tokes is like determined to touch that roof. But see, David's a smart one. David's going to get on a chair and touch the roof. So he's a smart one. But I was astonished to see these guys going for it. And I was like, all right. That's good. I need older guys to get me active, get me moving, get me going. So, you guys might think I'm old, but it's because of my hair. But I'm not as old as you think. I'm not as old as you think. I'm 34 years old. But my second point is being astonished. Being astonished is, you know, when we're astonished, it's something we're surprised by, or it's something we're impressed when we're astonished. And I'm sure we've all had times where we've been surprised or we've been impressed by someone or something, And I'm sure we've all had times when we've been surprised and impressed by God. I'm sure there's a time or two. I'm sure we could all share those times. I would love to hear some of those times. I would love to hear some of those. Because they astonish me as well. So share those times for sure. But we love those moments when God astonishes us. We love to be astonished by knowing that His presence is in our lives, and He loves us so much, and He has so much faith in us. You know, and He desires to simply even just know us. That astonishes me, that God actually wants to know me. And He wants, not only does He want to know me, but He actually already knows me more than anyone ever can. And that just astonishes me. The God of the universe knows me better than anyone else. And amazes me. But in order for us to be astonished, there's two things here that I see in this passage, which we get a sense of from Peter. You know, that we see Peter and I see that for us to be astonished by God, there's some important things we need to have in our lives. You know, and Peter, for sure, he was obedient, wasn't he? He did what Jesus said. But we do get a sense that it was hard for Peter to swallow. It's hard for Peter to say, okay, I will do that. I will put these nets into deeper water. He had to kind of explain himself first about what they've all done before he actually did it. And, you know, and here's this expert fisherman who just had a very unsuccessful day, didn't he? And so he had a very unsuccessful night of not catching anything. And here they are cleaning their nets, and they're ready to relax, ready to take it easy. They're ready to watch some Jewish football at that time. But, you know, but here's Jesus saying, you know what? Now let's get your nets dirty again. You know, listen to me. You know, I'm the guy that doesn't know about fishing, but I want you to do this. And I'm impressed with Peter, because I think about Peter, he does have a hesitation, but he does do it. But would you let Jesus tell you to do your job? Would you let Jesus say, hey, here's how you should do your job? Or, I mean, Jesus, but do you let other people even tell you how to do your job? You know, and so it just is kind of amazing to me, you know. I think of Claudine, you're a doctor, and maybe you're an expert in surgeries for the ankle. And someone says, hey, you need to do a surgery on this brain aneurysm right now because this guy's about to die. Are you going to do it? If Jesus said, hey, you need to do this surgery, you might not know how to do it, but you need to do it. Are you going to do it? You know, and I think Finola, you know, actress, Perry, right? I think of you. You probably got some specialty in being an actress. Like you kind of have this one thing that you're really good at being that type of actress. But then Jesus says, hey, you know what? I want you to be James Bond. I want you to act as 007. See? Would you be willing to act as James Bond? Would you be willing to be James Bond? I don't know. Because that's probably not your specialty. I don't know. But, you know, I think about those things. Like, man, would you let Jesus say, hey, this is how I want you to do something with your job or with things that you're an expert at? You know, and I think, I love that Peter, he doesn't say, hey, Jesus, you don't really understand. You know, he does kind of go there a little bit, but then he's willing to do it. But how often do we feel that way when Jesus is calling us to do something? When Jesus is using brothers and sisters in our lives to help us in our relationships with God to say, hey, this is the way to be godly. This is a way to be holy. And do we say, you know what, bro? No, you know what, sis? You don't really understand my life. You know, maybe you don't verbalize that. But inwardly, I think there's a time or two where we've exactly thought those things, for sure. That, you know what, you don't understand. You haven't even asked the situation. And I think we can definitely, and even with Jesus, hey, Jesus, you don't understand the situation. This is way more challenging than you think, you know. But are you willing to trust Jesus? Are you willing to trust Jesus with the people in your life to give you spiritual direction? Even though they might not understand every single detail of your job or of your life or the circumstances. You know, but when we get called when Lauren and I got called to come to London, and we said yes, we'd come. You know, we had just started being discipled by a new couple that had moved down to Hampton Roads a month prior. The couple that knew us really well, knew the things that I struggled with, knew the things that Lauren struggled with. They knew us. They've known us for years. They've known us for ever since we were disciples. And they weren't there. They were out and about. And they were helping out other churches and doing other things. But so this other couple comes in. They didn't know us. They didn't know our strengths. They didn't know our weaknesses. But what they did know is they knew Jesus. Amen. You know, and what they did know is they knew faith, and they had faith, and they knew the Bible, and they knew a good marriage. And they were able to help Lauren and I a ton. And they knew those things. So even though they necessarily didn't understand us, Lauren and I had to kind of be at peace to really say, you know what, let's give them our lives, let's be open, let's share our lives, and let's trust God that they're going to do great, they're going to really help us in these next 5 months. And you know what, at the end of these 5 months, before we left Hampton Roads, they were the hardest couple to say goodbye to, because they helped us so much, and they directed us to a life of holiness, you know, and we're so thankful for them. But we had to really fight those hesitations, like, you know what, they don't know us. They don't understand us. And in fact, they come from Canada. So what? Can Canadians understand us? No, I'm just totally kidding. So, but Jesus desires that from us. He desires that we have that faith, that we realize He knows us and understands us better than we know ourselves. But like Peter, that requires us to be obedient to His ways and not our ways. So I think, you know, factor one of being astonished about God is, yeah, we need to be obedient. But I think even the more important factor here is to see who we really are, to see ourselves with sober judgment and humility that we are sinful. You know, Peter, when he saw himself as sinful, that's when he says, Jesus, you are Lord. That's when they're astonished. That's when they're blown away. You know, and it amazes me because Peter is obviously, he's a very obedient man, for sure, but then seeing himself as a sinner, I think that's what really helps him see Jesus, that he needs Jesus in his life, is seeing that I am sinful, and I need this man, I need Jesus in my life. So it's so much more than obedience, but just really seeing who we really are. That goes for us too, you know, the longer we've been disciples, the harder it is to see our sinfulness, probably, because we're very obedient. And this is what it takes to be a disciple. This is what it is to be a Christian. This is what God calls us to. So here's my obedience, God. I hope you approve. I hope it's good enough for you. Thanks for calling me to this life. But obedience doesn't necessarily mean we're living by faith, you know, because obedience can easily become a checklist, and it can easily become just a life of comfort. You know, and so are we willing to stretch our obedience to things we haven't tried before? I think when we have tried things we've never done before, does it really turn out that bad? It's usually, man, that was awesome. Oh my gosh, let's do it again. Can I go back in line and do it again? I want to go and do it. You know, my niece just rode her first looping roller coaster last week at Walt Disney World, and she's only 9. And she was scared going up to it, and then she saw it, and she's like, I think I can do this. And not only is it a looping roller coaster, but it's a roller coaster in the dark. And it does loops. And when we're off, she's like, can we go again? I want to go again. And it's, you know, when we have faith and we stretch the things that we don't think we can do, but we're going to trust God with it, man, let's do more. Let's do more. I want to do more. That was amazing. Thank you, God, for stretching my faith. And that's where these guys end up, is they're just amazed. Amazed by Jesus. You know, and do you see that you're sinful? Do I see that I am sinful? I know it's so important for us to see this. It's not important so that we feel guilty and we're full of guilt, but it's so important for us to see our sinfulness so we can be full of gratitude for all God wants to do in our lives and all He has done in our lives. You know, so when Peter sees the sinfulness, then he's ready. Then he's ready to grow in faith. He's ready to let his faith grow more and more because he sees how much greater a life Jesus is calling him to live. You know, and Peter and the other disciples, they saw how much greater a life that he was calling them to live, so they're willing to give it up. And And look what they gave up. They probably gave up the best catches they ever had. And all, man, the income was about to come in. And they were willing to give it up. They were willing to give up. You know what? Hey, those guys are good fishermen. They were willing to give up a good reputation. And you know, I talked about expanding their company. They're probably about to start a new chain over in Gennesaret. And they're willing to give that up. You know, and possibly having more fishing boats and more employees and the greatest fishing technology at the time. They're willing to give those things up. I don't know what fishing technology was then, but they're willing to give those things up. And that's why I love Jesus uses what they were focused on to convict their hearts. You know, but because Peter saw where he really stood, it propelled him to a greater faith. A faith he was willing to give up the exact things that drove him and distracted him, to be willing to give up those things wholeheartedly. So you see, Jesus, he wants to push our faith. He wants us to be astonished with him. You know, how are you letting Jesus push your faith? How are you letting Jesus astonish you? And when was the last time you were astonished with Jesus? Maybe you've never been astonished with Jesus. Maybe you need to know Jesus a little bit more. You know? Let Jesus push your faith. But when you get to this point of being astonished, of seeing who you really are before Jesus and that He is Lord, that's when you get to see His plans. That's when you get to see His visions and His dreams that Jesus has for you. And that's what you see here, and that's my third point, is visions and dreams. Is Peter and the disciples, they get astonished by Jesus, and then Jesus says to Simon, "Don't be afraid, from now on you will catch men." Jesus gets to share His plan for him. He gets to share His vision, His dream that He has for Simon. And when we get to that point, that's when we get to see what Jesus has in store for us. You know, we all have visions, we all have dreams, but when Peter's humbled and sees Jesus as Lord, what does Jesus do? He shares. He shares His vision. He shares what He has planned for him. He's not just a fisherman, but He's something far greater than being a fisherman. You know, and Jesus has given Lauren and I lots of visions over the last 5 months for the central region. You know, as we begin to lead the campus and the singles, and we're going to have a married ministry as well. So it's going to be awesome. And I just kind of wanted to just share some of those things with this third point, you know. That I just want to take the time to share some of the visions and dreams we have. And I'm sure many of them are what Ian and Phil and Carolina have already had for you. And we're going to continue to push those things forward. But you know, as a region, we want to have a region where there's lots of training. There's lots of training going on. And it's available. It's available training to become Bible Talk leaders, training to become great shepherds and great converters. That's the kind of ministry we want to have, is we're pushing our faith and we're growing. You know, being a region known for its giving. You know, we want to be a ministry that gives, not just a ministry that takes. We want to give to the other ministries in the London church and hopefully the other ministries, you know, in other parts of England and far and beyond. Who knows? You know, and we want to be a region that has active discipling, active one another relationships, we're constantly in each other's lives and constantly, consistently being in each other's lives and helping each other to holiness, as the couple helped Lauren and I over the last 5 months just really be holy. And you know, and we want to be a region that lives by faith, you know, and is pushing our faith to new levels, to levels we've never thought. And we definitely want you guys to share things that you want to do, things that you've hoped to do for Jesus, and share those things, and we can help you get there, help you direct you towards Jesus, let Jesus get you there. But you know, we want to be for sure a region that loves and hopes, as Phil talked about in the communion, because we want to be a family. You know, we want to be a family, and we just want to be a region that loves the lost, you know, that loves the lost, that stays outward focused and lives out the vision that Jesus had for His disciples long ago in Gennesaret. He had those visions and dreams of, you know what, you're going to go and be fishermen of men. You know, and just, we want to be a region that sees many added to our number, but we also want to be a region that sees our faith added to our lives, to our hearts. You know, so this kind of conclusion, this is a great place to be. This is an amazing place to be, and we're so thrilled and excited to see God do so much more with our faith here in the central region. You know, we're so excited to just be here and just grow in our faith, and we'll all just grow in our faith together, and it'll be an amazing thing. But we need to let Jesus into the deep waters of our lives, you know, into our hearts. We need to be uncomfortable. We need to not be distracted. You know, it's interesting, when we're comfortable, we're probably distracted. Because that's where we just kind of get into our routine, you know. We need to be willing to not always be understood, but to trust Jesus that His Word can move us to a greater faith. You know, if we fight to always be understood, we'll miss a chance to let our faith be pushed. You know, we need to choose faith over being understood, over our feelings at times. And not that we need to understand each other for sure, but we need to choose faith. And we need to be obedient, but not let obedience lead us to not see who we really are. But we need to see who we really are before where we stand before Jesus. But most importantly, we need to be humble and realize we're sinners who, by the grace of God, we've been given great and powerful visions from Him, and to have dreams to serve and live a life where Jesus is Lord. And that's how we're going to be in the central region. We're going to live lives where Jesus is Lord. So thanks for letting me share. Amen.